Aw, shit. I'm back again. Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen and ladies. Chickens, ducks. We already at the main event. Y'all been patiently waiting just like an AIDS test. What's the result? Not positive. Aight. Yeah, we here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I was trying to wait until a little bit later to do this. Because, you know, usually I do like a quarter of the season review where, you know, I watch the first few games and I give my analysis on all 30 teams and whatnot. But today, you know, since the trade deadline is coming up and then I really want to just put my focus all the way into the trade deadline, I'm going to do my mid-season review right now. And then, of course, the All-Star Weekend and such. The reserves still haven't been announced for the All-Star team yet. So, let's get it started and let's get retarded. All right. Let's talk about NBA. Let's talk about the NBA midseason review. What I think is going to happen, how it's going to happen, whatever, whatever. We're going to start, of course, in alphabetical order. We're going to start with the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this has been the most disappointing team this season to me. Because, you know, when you have two all-star caliber players and a great bench and a halfway decent coach, you're expected to do more than just the 10th seed. How many games is it? It's like 46 games into the season, 46, 47. So, yeah, I should have did this at game 41. So, I got perfect timing. But let's start with the Hawks. The Hawks have been disappointing. 19 and 27. They have the 10th seed in the East. This is not what we were expecting from Atlanta. And, of course, their problem is they shoot too much. That's number one. Number two, there's not enough ball movement. Too much ISO. By the time the fourth quarter starts out, their arms are tired from just shooting the goddamn ball all the time. And then, of course, defensively, I mean, when you have a guy like Clint Capela and DeAndre Hunter, your defense is expected to be a lot better than what it is. But they have the inability to close out games. I mean, Murray's hit a couple of game winners. But then you got to think about it. So. So. The question I have for the Atlanta Hawks is, are they going to trade Trae Young or DeJounte Murray or both? Or Clint Capela? Because a lot of teams are interested in those three players. Then the Bogdanović kid and Sadiq Bey, I mean, there are teams that are interested in those guys as well. So Atlanta has a lot of questions. Now, I say this. If Atlanta keeps everybody, I say they go on like a little run. And I think that they'll be in the play-in game. Because the second half of the season, Atlanta always steps it up for some reason. First half of the season, they look like a lottery team all the time. But Atlanta, as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I think that Quinn Snyder should be fired. And I think the GM for the Atlanta Hawks should be fired. Because they have failed to put together a team that could contend for a championship. And once they brought DeJounte Murray in, that was supposed to be the case, but unfortunately, it did not happen. Let's move on to the Boston Celtics. Let's get their midseason review. Boston stands at the top of the East, as they should, especially with the acquisition of Kristaps Porzingis, who, of course, is currently hurt. I don't know if he's going to return next game. We'll see. But they are number one in the East. They're 35 and 11.
And this is their expectations. They're supposed to be number one, and they're supposed to be able to compete for a championship. The question is, can they stay consistent? There are a few flaws in this Boston team that I believe that a team in these playoffs are going to scare Boston. If the playoffs were to start off today, they would be playing Orlando. And Orlando ain't no slouch. They're a young team with nothing to lose and hungry. You know, I think Boston would... I mean, I think Orlando could win two games in that series if they were to play each other. But I just think that Boston... on paper, they should win the championship, but the problem is Boston doesn't let Drew Holiday be a point guard. And that's what Drew Holiday was bought in for, not only for defensive purposes, but to be the team's point guard and make Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, Jason Tatum's life easier. But Brown and Tatum don't want their lives easier. They just want to go ISO and chuck up challenge jump shots instead of moving the ball around. Because when Boston moves around, all of their players can touch the ball. All of their players could be in rhythm. I just feel like Tatum and Brown could get easier buckets than they take. Porzingis' health is always a question. I mean, the only player that they do pass to is Porzingis. And that's when they're taking advantage of mismatches. But Boston, of course, has championship contender potential, but will they do it? Because Boston has been to the finals before. Has always made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they could never seem to win the big championship. And a lot of the blame is pointed at Joe Mazzulla. I mean, yes, coach is drawing up the plays, but I truly believe that Tatum and Brown be going off script. Another concern with the Celtics is bench. I don't know if that Celtics bench can hold up. I mean, you got Peyton Pritchard, you got Al Horford, you got Sam Hauser. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't think there's anybody on the bench that you could really count on to be a legit sixth man. And I truly believe that losing Brogdon definitely hurt them, because that was Brogdon's job. But, you know, you did get Drew Holiday in return and Kristaps Porzingis. You got two starters. But the way that you can resolve that problem is if you have Brown, Tatum, or Holiday rotate and play with the second unit. And balance out the minutes that way if they can't get a sixth man. Because they need bench scoring. I mean, Pritchard's not consistent yet. Horford's older. Sam Hauser's shot, you can't depend on that all the time. Because Hauser's one-dimensional. So, I'm trying to figure out why Boston's not playing Jordan Walsh. Like, you drafted Walsh to replace Grant Williams, and I haven't seen much of him at all this season. All right, let's move on to the Brooklyn Nets mid-season review. Brooklyn's kind of 50-50, if you ask me. They had a solid start to the season, and all of a sudden, they went on this losing stretch. I mean, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're currently 18-27 and 11th in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Brooklyn number one player is technically a two-way player in Mikal Bridges, And you're not going to go very far with him being your number one option. I mean, the parts around them look like a pretty good team. And I don't think that Cam Thomas is really given the chance to get his shit off. Pause. I mean, you got Finney Smith and Royce O'Neal as defensive guys, but they're not being used correctly. And I feel like a contender should reach out to the Nets about those two guys. But Brooklyn, I don't know, man. The rate that they're going, they might not even make the play-in this year. But I'm definitely disappointed in the Nets. I feel like they have the scoring to keep up with the other teams in the league, but they just don't have that one player that can close out the game for them. Because, you know, you got Bridges, you got Johnson, you got Dinwiddie, you got Claxton, you know what I'm saying? You got Ben Simmons who barely fucking plays. So to me, I feel like the second half of the season is going to determine whether they're shit dead in the water or are they going to make a run for the play-in to get one of those final spots. I mean, Brooklyn has the talent to do it, but I don't think they're going to do it. Let's look at the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets are where I expected them to be. Currently, the Charlotte Hornets are the 13th seed in the East and stand at 10-34. I don't think this team is any good. It's just flat out. Even with LaMelo Ball back in the lineup, you know, LaMelo keeps them competitive, but they don't have the team and they don't have the parts or the veteran leadership that they need. And I feel like a lot of those players on the Hornets are going to be up for a trade. A guy like Gordon Hayward, who has a $31 million expiring contract. Charlotte, you know, pretty much has the bargain on whether to keep him or not, so that they can go out and try to put parts around LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller's coming along, ladies and gentlemen. He's balling. And I don't think that's being talked about enough because of the caliber of the team. You know, you saw they just flipped Terry Rozier. Don't be surprised if Hayward, and then you see the Suns are interested in Miles Bridges. It's all about what Phoenix could give for Miles. Because I said this year, I don't think Charlotte has a shot to make the play-in. They just don't. And I think they'll continue to lose and get one of those top five lottery picks. All right, let's move on to the Chicago Bulls. Now, the Chicago Bulls have improved from where they started at. Zach LaVine's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, and, you know, he's also a subject on the trade market. And the Chicago Bulls actually play better without him. And then the come up of Kobe White, he's been balling. DeMar DeRozan, he's shaky, but he has his superstar moments. And I like Nikola Vucevic, and Andre Drummond off the bench has been the certified sixth man for this Bulls team. But all they are really is a play-in team. I don't think that they make it out of the play-in. But they could win the first game of the play-in. And it could come down to the last game to decide their season. Patrick Williams has gotten a little bit better, but he's been hurt. I don't think Dalen Terry's getting enough minutes to my liking. Alex Caruso, he's still pretty good. But the Bulls will always be a mid-pack, in my personal opinion. Let's look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers
are fifth in the East and sit at 27-16 and have won 9 out of their last 10 games. Cavaliers got a lot of potential. I mean, they have the team, they have the bench, they got your star, residential star player, and Donovan Mitchell, and you got another former All-Star in Darius Garland. I think Cleveland's thing is health. They have to be healthy. Because last year, they were so disappointing in the playoffs. Like, Randall and Mitchell Robinson was punking Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. And Allen admitted to coming up short in the playoffs. But I think that the Cavs bench is well improved across the board. I mean, you got Sam Merrill, you got Caris LeVert, you got Dean Wade, you got Tristan Thompson once he comes back off of that steroid suspension. Isaac Okoro still solid. Cleveland can compete. You know, if the playoffs were to begin today, they would play New York again. And I don't know if I see Cleveland coming out of that series. I would definitely take New York in 7 games. You know, Cleveland's issue is health. Will Donovan be healthy? Will Darius Garland be healthy? Will Jared Allen be healthy? Will Evan Mobley be healthy? A healthy Cleveland team, you know, who has a year and a half together, just depends on their opponent in the playoffs and how well they match up, whether they're going to make a run, because Cleveland's expected to at least get out of the first round, which they did not last year. Due to inconsistent play. All right, let's look at the Denver Nuggets. I hope I'm getting the alphabetical order shit right, because I always miss something. All right, we're good so far. Actually, let's talk about Dallas. I almost forgot Dallas. Sorry, y'all. Dallas got a lot of questions. My midseason review of the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas, that's another team that is concerning due to their health. Because, you know, Luka Doncic started off hurt to begin the season. And then, you know, Kyrie Irving, who, as always, his health is always a concern. That's another guy whose health I worry about. And then Luka and Kyrie getting chemistry. That's another thing that I worry about this Dallas team. Because Dallas has the players around them to get it done. Like Tim Hardaway. And where's Seth Curry? Like, Seth Curry's not getting enough clock. I think Jaden Hardy needs more minutes. He could be a really legitimate six-man guy for this team. I mean, I also like the kid Derek Lively. I think that was a great pickup. And Grant Williams, of course, Derrick Jones Jr. Like, these guys are solid. But Dallas sits at the 8th spot in the Western Conference, and they have lost 6 out of 10. And to be honest, that's not necessarily a good look for Dallas being an 8 seed. You know, these guys missed the playoffs last year. And they are also in danger of doing so. They didn't even make the play-in last year. So the pressure is on Luka Doncic. I mean, you got your tag team partner, in Kyrie Irving. And you got solid role players. Roster-wise, there's nothing missing, but defensive commitment is Dallas's problem. They've never had, like, a defensive team. Never. Dallas is a team, I don't know, man. If Dallas had Rick Carlisle instead of Jason Kidd, I think this team could go to the at least the Western Conference Finals. Here's why. Obviously, Rick Carlisle is a genius. Jason Kidd just lets these motherfuckers defend one-on-one instead of playing zone, because this Dallas team defense is shaky. I mean, you have Grant Williams there, Derrick Jones Jr. there, who does play defense, but that's all they have. Like, Luka and Kyrie can't defend a parked car. They just can't. And I think Dallas is going to struggle once the playoffs begin. It's going to be hard for them to get out of the play-in. Do they have the potential to do so? Absolutely. But Dallas can make it tough on one of these teams. I mean, I honestly think that Dallas could beat OKC in a series. I think so. They could beat Minnesota in a series, in my opinion. They can, but will they is the question. I mean, you got a question. Are these guys playoff contenders or playoff pretenders? We'll see. All right, let's talk about the Denver Nuggets. The defending champs, midseason review. Let's get it. So Denver currently sits at fourth in the West right now at 32-15. One through four in the West is a wildfire. It's going to be between these four as to who comes out on top of the West. But Denver's 7-3 in their last 10 games. And Nikola Jokic is MVP level. KCP, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter, they come and go. That's the only thing that I'm worried about. You know, last season, them niggas was balling better than what they were last year. You know, they were balling better last year. This year, you know, they got the championship hangover. They basically show up when they want to show up. They're not always consistent. But Jamal Murray is back to all-star level, even though he's never been an all-star. Hopefully Jamal becomes a first-time all-star this year. I think he deserves to be at least considered for it. I think he's definitely worthy of being of the consideration. I just feel like Caldwell Pope, Porter, Gordon, and Reggie Jackson got to all be consistent in order for this team to repeat. And then, you know, bring on Julian Strother to be more a part of the lineup. It seems like Mike Malone knows exactly what he's doing with his rotations. Because some games you might see Julian Strother out there. Some days you might see Christian Braun out there. Some days you might see Zeke Nnaji out there. Some days you might see DeAndre Jordan out there. You know, Malone's really stingy with his rotation, and I kind of like that he is. And that's what makes Denver stand out amongst the other teams, and that's probably why they're a finals pick of mine. Because as long as Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic are out there and healthy, there's not many that could beat this team in a 7-game series. Let's look at Detroit. Oh my goodness. Man, Detroit sits at the 15th seed in the Eastern Conference, a 6-40 record. Jesus. And of course, they're 3-7 their last 10 games. Okay, I can't believe OKC let Detroit beat them. That was shocking to me. But other than that, though, Detroit's been a major disappointment. I mean, I expected the 11th seed out of these guys, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen for them. I mean, Monty Williams did not expect to come into this team in a cesspool, but he is a part of the problem with fucking all these lineups up, taking players out the game who are hot from the field, not riding with the hot hand, pause, like. And they gave this man a record contract at the time. This is the perfect fucking song to describe the Pistons season. Listen to it. I just want y'all to listen. I sound like I'm about to get on the song and rap and shit. Yeah, because, you know, poor Cade Cunningham. You know, he hasn't always been healthy. But when Cade's out there, he's an all-star caliber player. He's not a great point guard. He's more of a two-guard masquerading as a point guard. And Jaden Ivey, you know, he's been disrespected most of this season. He has. Because, you know, in the early part of the season, they were starting Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham together. All of a sudden, you know, management went up to Monty Williams and told him to take Hayes out the lineup in favor of Ivy because Ivy deserves to start flat out. And Jalen Duren, he is becoming the player that I think he is. You know, he's putting up the Dwight Howard numbers. He just needs, you know, he just needs more experience, and he can be similar to Dwight Howard for this team. Isaiah Stewart's been disappointing this year. He's not shooting as well as he was last year. He's the enforcer, but he doesn't necessarily play great defense. And a lot of contenders want him. I mean, you got Kevin Knox. You know, they finally traded Marvin Bagley. You bought in Mike Muscala. I don't know if Danilo Gallinari's ever going to play for the Pistons. Yeah, I don't know, guys. The Pistons definitely are going to be in the running for the number one overall pick. I could talk about the Pistons all day because they're my team and all that, but we got to move on. We got to move on to Golden State. Golden State has also been one of the top two most disappointing teams of the season. I think Atlanta's more disappointing than them because they were expected to do a lot more. Golden State, of course, is a contender, a playoff contender every year. This year, it's not going so well for those guys. The Golden State Warriors currently sit at 12th in the Western Conference, and they are 3-7 in their last 10 games, 19-24. Part of the reason why Golden State
is failing. The decrease production, the decrease in production in Andrew Wiggins is number one. Because Wiggins, in that championship year, you could argue was the second best player on the Warriors that year. And he regressed so bad that the Warriors had to bench him. And then, of course, the come up of Jonathan Kuminga had a lot to do with that as well. But I just think Golden State needs to make a trade. They need to make a move. If they're going to have playoff aspirations, I mean, the Warriors GM put everybody but Steph Curry on the trade block. That says a lot about what the new management and the new GM thinks of the Warriors right now. And their inability to play defense, of course. And then also, pause, they're too small. And a lot of the bigger teams, pause, they take advantage of them, pause. But Curry, they're wasting the last of Steph Curry's prime. He ain't got that much time left to play basketball. Curry does not want to do what Kobe Bryant did. I forgot what year it was, but I think it was 2011, 2012, when he hurt himself trying to carry the Lakers to the playoffs. So the Warriors have a lot of questions and a lot of things to address. I mean, you got that Chris Paul contract. You got that Draymond Green contract. You know, teams are interested in Wiggins and Wiggins, Kuminga, and Moody. And, you know, they can't close out games. I mean, you have Steph Curry, you know, who been not really clutch. I mean, he's hit some big shots, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about with the game on the line and for a game, Curry doesn't make the shot. And I just think the Warriors, as a staff, record label, and the crew, should have never traded Jordan Poole for Chris Paul. I think that was the deal that made this team championship aspirations go out the window. I mean, they just got back Draymond Green. Chris Paul's supposed to come back in a couple of weeks. Yeah. The Warriors are in trouble. Unless they can make a franchise-saving move, I don't see this team going anywhere. I don't even know if they're going to make the play-in, continuing the way that they're playing right now. Let's look at the Houston Rockets. All right, the Rockets. The Rockets have exceeded expectations because I felt like this team was like a 32, 34 win team, but they're probably definitely going to win more than that. The Rockets currently sit 11th in the West. They're 21 and 24. They have lost 7 out of 10 games. Udoka has not had a losing team yet, but it's not looking too good for them. With the Lakers streaking right now, with the Jazz balling out, the Rockets are one of the odd men out. Although they had a good start. And this is what
this Rockets team looks like with young players and older players. But of course, the younger players' mistakes and the shot selections of some of these players have affected the current state of the team. And then, of course, you know, Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks aren't natural-born leaders, so they're still trying to figure out how to rally the troops. Now, Dylan Brooks is good when you need an enforcer, not necessarily when you need leadership. And I truly think that Fred VanVleet has to step it up as far as the leadership is concerned. But it's a lot of the Rockets shot selections for me that makes them lose these games, because they have a good team. They have, you know, a potential all-star in Alperen Şengün. And I feel like they have to use Şengün like the Nuggets use Joker a little bit more. And Jabari Smith is good also. They have the offense and the defense to an extent to keep up with a lot of these teams. But, of course, a lot of the teams in the West have better leadership. I mean, I know Udoka's probably the leader of that team, but there's something missing from this Rockets team that's preventing them from being at least a play-in team. But I think that they will miss the playoffs, but not by much. I think it's going to come down to like a last game against either the Lakers or the Jazz or even the Mavericks at this point. All right, let's move on to the Indiana Pacers, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the Pacers, I wouldn't say that they've been a surprise team to me. It was kind of expected. I mean, again, when it comes down to this shit, it's legitimately always about health. Team health for the Pacers, because when they're healthy, they're dangerous. And then, of course, with the recent acquisition of Pascal Siakam, the Pacers are expected to, you know, make some noise during the playoffs. They're not expected to just go to the playoffs and go home. No, they're expected to win a round of the playoffs. Not that they made this acquisition, but Siakam and Haliburton have yet to have chemistry yet. Currently, the Indiana Pacers sit at 27-20. And they played a lot of their games without Haliburton. You know, he had that hamstring injury. And Andrew Nembhard has come in and filled in well. And I believe TJ McConnell is still there as a backup point guard. I mean, this team is well-rounded from top to bottom, if you ask me, with a bunch of young, talented scorers, such as Buddy Hield. You know, Miles Turner's still there. Benedict Mathurin's still there. Obi Toppin's there. Isaiah Jackson's still there. This is a complete, well-rounded team. And I think Indiana's got the team to upset somebody in the playoffs right now. I mean, they sit at the sixth seed, so this is a dangerous team to watch out for. Next up, let's talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers have undergone like a facelift as far as the roster is concerned. Currently, they sit at 30-14 and third in the West. They've won 7 out of 10 games. And ever since that 10-game layoff when James Harden first got to the Clippers, the Clippers have been balling. haven't seen PJ Tucker come out that uniform. That's crazy. But other than that, though, Terrence Mann has stepped up. They still have Bones Highland for a rainy day. I don't understand how Amir Coffey's getting more minutes than Bones. I don't know what's up with that. But the combination of Westbrook, Harden, George, and Kawhi Leonard is expected to win a championship and nothing less. Even expected to beat an experienced team like the Denver Nuggets, which I don't think that the Clippers will do. But this could be a potential Western Conference Finals preview. Because Westbrook took the sacrifice and decided to come off the bench in order to help improve the team, which has worked out for them. So it's championship or bust pause for the Los Angeles Clippers. Now the Los Angeles Lakers, they had a shitty start to the season. They've been up and down. It's a lot of finger pointing, a lot of blaming, a lot of trade rumors, a lot of fire Darvin Ham, and all this and that. Trade D'Angelo Russell, and then D'Angelo Russell just started popping off. He started taking a lot of risky shots, and one-on-one as an ISO player and stuff, you know, I think that Russell has played well, but the question is he going to stay? Is Rui going to stay? Is Christian Wood going to stay? Is Austin Reeves going to stay? Because the Lakers stay trying to find that third scorer. I mean, they've went after Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and have not come up roses. And also, they went after Donovan Mitchell. But the Lakers have won 6 out of 10, and that got them climbing. You know, they're currently sitting at the 9 seed in the West. That's not really where they're supposed to be, especially with the acquisitions made in the offseason to add to what they had last season. I think the Lakers should be a top 3 seed in the West. They're way better than that. They're underachieving, being 8.5 games behind the number 1 seed. They're somewhat disappointing to have 2 superstars and LeBron James, whose numbers are incredible, but defense doesn't match up alongside the numbers. Then you have Anthony Davis. You know, he's been healthy most of the season, you know, with him getting hurt at the end of the last game I seen him in. I don't know if he's going to be out. It hasn't been confirmed whether Davis is hurt. I mean, he did come back and finish the game. But, again, it comes down to, is LeBron and AD going to be healthy? And are they going to actually make a trade to improve this roster or make the trade to ruin the roster? So, I don't know. I mean, the Lakers have been underachieving and should be a lot better than what they are. Let's take a look at Memphis. Oh, man. This is a heartbreaking season for Memphis because, you know, the Grizzlies started off horrible. They definitely did. They started off awful. And we're anticipating the return of Ja Morant. And I think it was 6 games that Ja played this season. Might have been more than that. I'm not 100% sure. But in those games, you know, Ja Morant showed his value to the Memphis Grizzlies and how much he means to this team. But unfortunately, you know, a torn labrum prevented him from, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies making a run to the play-in. Because I truly believe if Ja was there, the Grizzlies would have improved their record to at least 500. Because they were really behind. And now with the loss of Ja, you know, Marcus Smart got hurt. Desmond Bane ended up getting hurt after getting that $200 million. And now it's just Jaren Jackson out there by himself with Vince Williams Jr. You know, Memphis sits at 13th in the West. And I don't think they have a chance of making the play-in this year. I think they should just tank and get and draft a center. And let's get it the fuck rolling. Let's look at the Miami Heat. Now, the Miami Heat are a confusing team to me. Sometimes Miami looks like, you know, like a championship team one day, and the next day they look like they're gonna fall off. I don't know which version of the Miami Heat I'm going to get every night. And then plus, you know, I definitely loved the Terry Rozier pickup. It's gonna take him a while to get acclimated with Heat culture, but Rozier and Hero, I love this duo. They could take a lot of pressure off of Jimmy Butler. You know, the Heat are focused on their defense. I mean, of course, Bam's been balling. Jaime Jaquez Jr., the rookie, he's been balling. You know, they just traded Kyle Lowry. So, I don't know. I mean, they're currently sitting at 7th in the East and have gone on a 6-game losing streak, losing 3 out of 10. That's not my losing 7 out of 10. That's not Miami like. They're currently 24-22. And the Miami Heat lollygagged last year during the regular season and then turned it on during the playoffs, upsetting the Milwaukee Bucks and then upsetting the New York Knicks the next round. And then going up 3-0 against Boston, almost blowing a 3-0 lead. But I think once Miami gets it together and once Rozier gets familiar with that team, I think that's when the Miami Heat is going to pick back up and sneak up the standings. Because, you know, as long as Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo is there and Eric Spoelstra is the coach, Miami can make some noise. But I don't know, guys. It's going to be tough for them to win a round in this playoffs. But Miami is a team that is a wild card. They don't give a fuck what seed they are. They don't care if they have to go through the play-in. They're competitors. Natural born competitors at the end of the day. So, all right. Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks. Wow, this midseason review is going to be very interesting, but I have I mean, outside of the David Blatt situation, which the Bucks have gone through that, where not even at the midpoint of the season, a coach gets fired for being 30-13. That is hella interesting in my book. It's like, wow, the disrespect. I mean, if I was the management, I would have definitely let him finish out the season before we judge. But it was just a little bit too late, in my opinion. You know? And, you know, the Bucks regressed defensively, and that has been an arc as far as their identity and how they've even won an NBA championship in the first place. But Milwaukee hasn't been disappointing if we're speaking on, like, record. But how they fell off defensively after the Drew Holiday trade is alarming. But they fired their coach midseason and hired Doc Rivers. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Doc is bad luck. It's only a matter of time before the Milwaukee Bucks are eliminated. I truly don't believe that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the championship this year, at least. Because you're bringing in a coach mid-season. You know, the Bucks wanted a more experienced coach to take them to the promised land. And I don't know if Doc is that guy. He's come up short one too many times for my liking, but maybe they can prove me wrong. Hopefully, Giannis can be the lucky charm that this team needs. We'll just have to see. But the Bucks still have the potential to win the title, though. Regardless, all right, let's move on. Let's move on to Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota Timberwolves are a bit of a surprise team. I don't think anybody, I don't even think Minnesota Timberwolves fans were expecting them to have the number one seed in the West as long as they did. You know, although currently they sit at number two. I mean, Anthony Edwards is only going to improve more. Karl Anthony Towns is actually healthy and having a halfway decent season. You know, they have veterans in Conley and Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gobert. So, this is the thing, though. It's a reason why I still don't believe in the Timberwolves. This team hasn't won a playoff series. Until they can do that, I won't believe in them. I don't believe in them as championship contenders at all. They're playoff contenders. They proved that. I'll give them that. But I don't know. Like, I don't think that this team can win a round of the playoffs. You know, they're dealing with some dogs. You know, it's people that say that Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert could stop Jokic, but they were unable to do that last year. I know they like to hang their hat on the fact that they beat Denver two out of six games, but the fact is they lost. And if they were to match up against Denver, they would not win. But the good news is their bench is okay. Their starters are great. You know, I had this team as a play-in team going into the season due to the improvements of the Western Conference, but I guess they were able to rise above that and win a lot of games. But I think this is a regular season team. But this is although this is a number two seed, they still give me Cinderella vibes. I mean, right now, if they were to start the playoffs today, they would play the New Orleans Pelicans. I actually think that the Timberwolves can beat these guys in a seven-game series. And the Pelicans is my team.
But I don't think they would beat Phoenix, Denver, the Clippers, the Thunder. Maybe the Mavericks in a series. Maybe the Lakers. I don't think they could beat Utah in a series. But everybody else in the West, they could probably beat in 7 games. It's all about the matchups for me. Until Minnesota could win a series, I just don't believe in them. Sorry, not sorry. All right. Let's move on to the New Orleans Pelicans. This is another team that, I mean, I love the Pelicans. I like the fact that they're playing how they're supposed to play. Zion is healthy for now. But New Orleans is wishy-washy as hell. You don't know, you know, some games they look like a playoff contender. Other games they look like a playoff pretender. Brandon Ingram's kind of fell off a little bit. Like, I expected Ingram and Williamson to be all-star caliber. And it seems like the only consistent player to me on this team is CJ McCollum. And even Jonas Valanciunas be mid sometimes. I mean, I love Trey Murphy off the bench. I love Herb Jones. And they definitely have a team that's ready for the playoffs. But just like the Timberwolves, the Pelicans got to win a playoff series in order for me to take them serious. New Orleans has the talent, but they're just not proven. And they'll need to be elite the second half of the season and try to avoid the play-in, because if I'm New Orleans, I don't want to be in the play-in. I don't want to play Dallas or the potential winner of the Lakers and the Jazz. That's my stance on the Pelicans. I think Ingram and Williamson have to take things to another level in order to be respected and taken serious. Let's take a look at the New York Knicks. This is a, you know, the Knicks and the Timberwolves were the two teams that I was the most wrong about, because I thought that the Knicks, you know, overachieved last year. And it turns out I was wrong about that one. The Knicks are a legit playoff contender, and the acquisition of Anunoby has me respecting them as a playoff contender. Now, whether they're a championship contender is yet to be seen. I think the Knicks can win a playoff series, maybe even two, depending on who they play. But the problem is the East is a little bit tough. I mean, with Miami lurking, with Cleveland being solid, with the Pacers' improvements, with the come up of the Magic, you know, Philly trying to establish themselves without James Harden, Boston and Milwaukee being at the top of the conference. It's going to be tough for New York to get out of that second round. You know, and then, of course, with Randall's recent injury, we don't know how they're going to play without Randall. We'll just have to see. I think this New York Knicks team is poised for a deep playoff run. With the OG Anunoby acquisition, they've been balling. And Anunoby would be the X factor for this Knicks team. And, you know, currently, they sit fourth in the East at 29-17 and have won 8 out of 10 games. So the Knicks are kind of proven. But do they have enough to take it to the next level? Because the Knicks haven't won a championship since 1973. And I don't see a Detroit Lions type of season for the Knicks. All right, let's talk about the Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic, I wouldn't say that they're a surprise team, to be honest. I kind of felt like after they won 34 games last year that they were going to improve and be a play-in team. But what type of play-in team would they be? Well, they did start off the regular season as a top five team in the Eastern Conference. But all of a sudden, you know, the reality of their season and their young mistakes started to catch up to them. And then other teams did get better. You know, like Indiana, the Cavaliers were better than they were last season. The Knicks are way better than they were last season, way better than I expected. So, I mean, my Orlando Magic sit at the 8th seed in the East, 24-23, and they've lost 7 out of their last 10 games. They're not really a great road team. I mean, that's usually how young teams are. Paolo Banchero's having a good season as the number one option on the Orlando Magic. Franz Wagner, he's legit. He's a great player. Like, he's a lot better than I thought he was. He's taking the next step. Markelle Fultz is playing well. Wendell Carter Jr. just got back from injury. So maybe Orlando could weasel their way out of the play-in, especially as bad as the Miami Heat are playing. And then, you know, Halliburton and Siakam have not gained chemistry yet. So the Magic have a chance. But however, as far as I'm concerned, the question remains, will they attain that 8th seed or lose to maybe a Chicago and a Brooklyn? Because I'm not sure if they can beat the Miami Heat in the play-in. They're capable. I like Orlando. Orlando was one of the teams that I felt like was going to take a leap because of their depth. You know, Jonathan Isaac, you know, came back from that those injuries, and he's a solid role player right now. He's solid, in my opinion. He's a solid role player. I like Jalen Suggs, Markelle Fultz, Franz Wagner, Gary Harris. They have a pretty good roster. But I'm not sure if they have enough talent to beat a New York Knicks, an Indiana Pacers, or a Cleveland Cavaliers yet. But we'll see what they're made of once the playoffs start and once the play-in starts, because I know they're going to have one of those spots. Pause that. All right. Let's look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Philly. Philadelphia 76ers sit at the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference at 29-16. My question about Philly is health. I mean, Maxey and Embiid have missed a lot of games this season. Well, Embiid missing a lot of games. Maxey was missing a couple of games. But Maxey's an all-star, in my opinion. Joel Embiid is definitely a superstar. But Philly's problem is the inability to get to the conference finals. I mean, they've had talented teams over the years, and they have, in the process, is still processing. In the playoffs, he's played great regular seasons, but he's the Chris Paul of centers. And people have made excuses for Joel Embiid for too long. Even me. Like, Joel Embiid had a team with Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons,
and Tobias Harris and couldn't get to the conference finals. I understand that Kawhi's shot had a lot to do with it. If Kawhi misses that shot, Philly goes to the conference finals. You know, I give them a pass for that season only, even though they really should have won that series. But Philly has enough talent to get through two rounds of the playoffs, I think. But I'm not sure if they're capable of doing it. They have the depth. You know, you got a good starting five with Maxey and Embiid and Harris. With those three guys, De'Anthony Melton, I believe, is in that starting lineup. And then you got Oubre, you got Batum, you got Marcus Morris. You got Robert Covington. I believe that's more than enough to compete for a championship, but my question is the health of Joel Embiid. Is he going to be 100% healthy through the playoffs? I mean, also adding Mo Bamba was good. That was an underrated pickup to me. Pat Bev, too. They got the depth. They can win a championship with this team. It's all about, will the process be processed? We'll see. All right, let's look at the Phoenix Suns. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. They're the biggest disappointment to me. One of the biggest disappointments. Probably a top three disappointment all season, because once the trio of Beal, Durant, and Booker was formed, I automatically thought that they were going to be at the top of the Western Conference. Boy, I was wrong. Currently, the Phoenix Suns, however, sit at the sixth seed and is 27-20 and have won 8 out of their last 10 games. And I just think that that's off of the back of Devin Booker, who has been hot lately. Kevin Durant comes and goes. Bradley Beal is finally back in the lineup. I had always said a healthy Suns team is a top three team in the West. But I didn't expect their defense to be so mediocre. I mean, they have depth too. They have Bobo. They have Eric Gordon. They have Grayson Allen. They have Josh Okogie. They have Keita Bates-Jop. They have Tamizi Metu. They have solid role players. They have Jusuf Nurkić. But I still think that Phoenix has to make a move to go get some defensive guys. I mean, Bruce Brown is being named, is being circulated in trade talks. Alex Caruso is being circulated around in trade talks. It's another defender. Oh, yeah, Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal. If Phoenix got two of those four guys that I named, Phoenix would be in championship contention. Right now, I just think that they're in playoff contention simply because they can't stop nobody. And Frank Vogel, I don't know. He's been kind of disappointing. Disappointing as far as instilling this team with a defensive identity. As I said, none of those guys can check nobody. So I would think that Frank Vogel would switch to playing zone most of the time. Because pause, they have the guys with the wingspan to play a zone. Kevin Durant, you know? Some days he looks like 7 feet. Like, a lot of those guys on this Phoenix team have the wingspan to pull off playing zone. But Frank Vogel doesn't make defensive adjustments. And he's a defensive coach. You would have thought that Frank Vogel would let these guys play defense. I mean, you would let these guys do what they do offensively and then run your defensive rotations. But he hasn't made that adjustment yet. And it's halfway into the season. My concern for the Phoenix Suns is just the fact that, are they ever going to get it together defensively and with their health? Because Phoenix needs Beal, Booker, and Durant to be out there in order for them to get to the to their destination. But with the Nuggets still out there, with the Clippers balling the way that they are, I'm not sure if it's going to be enough room for Phoenix to even get to the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion. But we'll see if Phoenix could go out there and make a move during the trade deadline. Let's talk about the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are what I expected them to be. Of course, you traded your franchise player in Damian Lillard. And of course, they were not going to be that great. But my biggest disappointment is, of course, DeAndre Ayton. I thought that once he left Phoenix, I thought he was going to be 20-13. You know, he adopted this dominating persona. They even announced him at the Portland games as dominating, and he ain't dominating the motherfucking thing. And this motherfucker said he a max player. You a wax player, whacked in a motherfucker. But Scoot Henderson, he's playing well. You know, he's been up and down, but he's been solid. When he's been on, Portland does win games. I do give them that. You know, Chauncey Billups is in a tough situation. Currently, as it stands, they sit at the 14th seed in the West at 14-33. This is about what I expected them to be, which was a lottery team. You got a bunch of guys that, you know, you got offensive guys like Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons, Scoot Henderson to a degree is an offensive player. But this team's defense is shaky at best. You know, you kind of knew that this team wasn't going to play defense. They don't have any defensive players. Then you add Malcolm Brogdon for a veteran presence, but it hasn't done much to shake off that lottery label. You would have thought with Brogdon, this team would have improved a little bit more. But Portland's exactly what I expected them to be. Nothing more than just a lottery team that, you know, all right, let's move on to the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings are pretty much where they were at last year at this point. Pretty much middle of the contender pack. Currently, as it stands, they sit at the 5 seed at 27-18. Sacramento is competitive, but my issue with Sacramento is they lose a lot of games that they should win. There are certain teams that, you know, they got swept by the Pelicans. I would easily assume that they would split a team like New Orleans. But it just seems like they compete against the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and this and that, and this and that. But when it comes to the weaker teams or the middle of the pack teams, Sacramento will bullshit a little bit. They're still relatively a young contending roster. They still have to shake off the cobwebs a little bit. They have the offense to compete. Their defense is okay. But they have to beat teams that they are supposed to beat. That's my only concern. But I like this roster. I like their potential. And I hope that they can have a deep playoff run. But I don't know. I mean, currently, as it stands, they play the Clippers if the playoffs started today. And I don't know if the Kings would get up out of there. It would be a 7-game series, though. It would be exactly like how the Warriors series was. But yeah, Sacramento, I think they are fine where they are. I just feel like they have to just beat teams that they're supposed to beat. Pause. Let's look at San Antonio. I'm not going to lie to you. San Antonio's disappointed me a little bit because I thought that Wembanyama's presence was going to win them games that they weren't supposed to. But currently, they sit at the bottom of the West at seed 15. Jesus. They're 10-37. I didn't expect that. I thought that they would be maybe 11th or 12th in the West. And, you know, the early part of the season, they fucked off a lot of games. You want to know why? Because they weren't getting Victor Wembanyama the ball. Like, a lot of them were selfish and low-key freezing Wembanyama out. But, you know, the thing about Wembanyama is he's going to go get the ball himself, especially, like, if they're not giving him the ball. But my final thoughts on the Spurs, I feel like the Spurs should go out there and trade for Trae Young. They need another guy to go with Wembanyama who can get him the ball when he asks for it. I mean, I know Trae Young shoots a lot of jump shots. I get it. But a Young and Wembanyama pick and roll would be nice for that team. And it would open up all of the other players to get some confidence. The other players like the ball hog a lot. So that they could get their stats and so that they could get paid. But yeah, San Antonio, definitely a disappointment so far. Let's look at the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors, after trading Pascal Siakam, I mean, I feel like they're a play-in team still, probably the final spot. But currently, as it stands, the Toronto Raptors sit at 16-30. And they're currently the 12th seed in the East. And they're a little bit disappointing as well, especially after that trade happened. I thought that that trade helped them, but they have lost their last 5 games and have only won 1 out of their last 10 games. And that's not good. So now it's giving Toronto about to hit that lottery once again. And that sucks because they have a good plethora of players. But the only thing that I could really say about this is Toronto does have a lot of picks. They have a great future. And they have pieces that can help other playoff teams. And they can get even more collateral. Meaning that they can auction off a lot of their current players and be like OKC and have the Infinity Stones of, you know, first round and second round picks. But I was surprised that Toronto's been this bad after the acquisition of Emmanuel Quickly and RJ Barrett. Let's look at the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz are exactly the dark horse that I thought that they were going to be. I knew they were going to be successful. I mean, currently, they stand as the 10th seed in the West, 24-24. And they're exactly where I thought that they would be, which is like that 10th seed that would give that 9th seed a lot of trouble in that one game. They're tied with the Lakers. I mean, I like that squad. I like that team. You know, I feel like they should give their younger players more minutes, like Keontae George, Bryce Sensabaugh, and Taylor Hendricks. But it seems like Utah's doing what it do, man. Like, Markkanen, Sexton's been balling, with the exception of yesterday. We're not going to get into that. John Collins, Jordan Clarkson. Like, they, and Walker Kessler, they have a well-rounded team. And they have this underdog swagger about themselves. And I knew that they were going to be this good. Hopefully they make the play-in like I said they would. And do damage. But I like where Utah's going here. They could be really dangerous. If healthy, of course. Alright, so last but probably least, they usually the saying is last but not least, but definitely last and definitely least, the Washington Wizards, they are who we thought they were. Currently, as it stands, they sit at the 14th spot in the East at 9-37. I knew they were going to be bad. I thought they were going to get the number one pick, even with Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma. You know, they were just going to fight about how many shots they were going to take tonight or the next night. I knew this was going to be a shot attempts team and not a winning team. I already knew that. This is exactly what I expected out of the Wizards. They were going to be ass, and they were going to continue to be ass. This is a team that might get the number one overall pick. And I'm going to just leave it at that. All right, y'all. That is my show. This is King Known Uncensored. This is my mid-season report of all 30 NBA teams. Thank you. I appreciate it, y'all, for listening for this long. If you're still here, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you were here at King Known Uncensored. I'm out this bitch.